every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power. There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
All right, good evening. Welcome to Assurance Baptist Church. Let's stand and sing Days of Elijah tonight. God like Jehovah. Let's turn it up just a little bit here.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God like Jehovah.
keep on singing this evening. Mighty to Save.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on you. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior.
Shake someone's hand this evening.
A sinner once lost is found. one and the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson flow. And now I'm feeling fine. I'm walking on the highway with my Lord. My name is written down in the courts above.
Continue to praise our Lord and Savior by turning to page 270, singing Wonderful Words of Life, page 270.
Sing them over again to me, Wonderful Words of Life. Let me more of their beauty see. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and beauty. Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to
continue by turning the page 220, singing He Lives.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living. say, I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, as Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along this narrow way.
Something about that name.
Welcome back to Assurance Baptist Church. We have had a great day in the house of the Lord already, and it's hard to believe, but we're moving into the Thanksgiving season. It's been so good and amazing to this church, and as talking about Thanksgiving coming up, we do have our Young at Hearts Thanksgiving this coming Thursday, November 9th at noon, and so that is for those that are 55 and over, and just would ask that you'd bring a dessert or a Thanksgiving side to share, and definitely invite your friends to it. I know it's probably one of the highlights of the year. We also have our the College and Career, the Rooted Ministry, is having their Friendsgiving, and that is going to be November the 11th at 6 p.m., and that is going to be at Matthew and Randy Backschreiter's house. And so that's for anyone that's graduated high school, 18 to 25 years old, but see them for their address and just to RSVP, let them know that you're going to be coming, and definitely invite your friends. The last announcement that I'd have here is for the CPR and AED training that's going to be this coming Thursday at 6 p.m., 6 to 9 o'clock, and that's here at the church. And then any men that have registered for the men's conference, just please see Pastor by this coming Wednesday, and just get the information, but make sure you see Pastor. And we're going to have a very special treat tonight as Brother Brandon is going to be preaching for us. And so I know I'm definitely looking forward to that. But if you would, just bow your head and pray with me, and we'll get started. Lord, we come to you today just so grateful once again to be in your house. We're thankful for a place that, to be able to come to, a place to be able to be fed. And we just ask that you just meet with us this evening, that you just speak through Brother Brandon and just speak to our hearts, that we'd be able to be effective Christians for you in our community, that you'd just strengthen us to reach those around us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You got me on? There we go. Whoa. All right. Can you turn me down just a little bit? There we go. Yeah, a little bit more. I like echo. There we go. There we go. Good. All right, how's everyone doing this evening?
Good.
Well, this morning I was yelling, not really yelling, but I was loud, screaming, and having fun with the teens. I had a couple cups of coffee this evening. It's kind of wearing down, but then I refused myself back up with some Dr. Pepper. So we'll see how this evening goes. I heard there's some bets out there of it could be a 30-minute message, it could be a 75-minute message, but I guess we won't know until that time comes, right? But tonight, just a little story I want to give of my son. We just took him to a good old Monster Jam Saturday.
No, that's great.
It was a wonderful time. It was a blast. I think me and Megan had more fun than, if that's even a word, but more fun than what he did. All he really cared about was really a little bit of the food and then a little bit of the dirt bikes that they had at the little halftime show. But my message today, title is God Likes It Straight. Braxton, when we play, that kid likes to run in circles in our house. He doesn't go just in a straight path. He doesn't just go, but he goes and says, ha-ha, Dad, you can't catch me, and then runs and runs. And then sometimes, this is where I kind of laugh. Maybe I shouldn't, but sometimes he runs into the wall. And then he says, I'm okay, or in his words, I'm okay. But tonight I want to talk about how God likes a straight path. If you want to go ahead and start turning to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, we're going to just read the first 12 verses. But before we read, I'm just going to talk about a little backstory here. There was a man that was sent from God whose name was John. He was not the Christ. He was not sent to bear witness, but he was there to do a certain thing. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So if you could stand in the reading and honoring of God's word, we're going to read the first 12 verses here. And it says, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Verse 10, and now unto the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for this wonderful evening in your house. And Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here, and thank you for this opportunity that you've given me. Lord, I ask that you just be with my nerves, and Lord, that you just speak through me. Lord, that you open up everyone's hearts in here that they can learn something as I did. Lord, we just praise you through everything that you do for us, through the good and bad, and we just love you. And pray, amen. Thank you. Maybe seated. So we see here that John the Baptist, he was here to make a straight path. It's very important. How many of you guys like just to get to where you're wanting to go? You don't want to go through all these crazy back roads and side streets to get where you go. You just want to go straight and let's get there. A funny story is, back in my freshman, sophomore year, spring break, my mom said, hey, let's go to Texas. Let's go visit your uncle and your aunts and all that, your family. I said, cool, all right. Well, a best friend of mine, he came with us, my sister. So it was us four going to Texas for a good old week of spring break. It was exciting. And she says, let's just drive. And I said, all right. Well, it was the first time my mom, at least I think it was, I mean, I hope it was, because not, it's kind of embarrassing. But anyway, we drove all the way to Texas, okay? And 6 hours into our drive, you expect us to be, you know, maybe in Tennessee, you know, somewhere on the other side. But literally 6 hours later, we're still stuck in Kentucky because my mom had back roads only in her GPS. And so I'm like, Mom, are we almost there yet? It took us over 24 hours to get to where we were going to go because she didn't just take the path that the GPS was supposed to give her because she wanted to avoid all kinds of stuff. And so you ask yourself this today is, do you just want to get to where you're going, or are you letting the world stop you from where you're going? As we see here that he was not Christ, but he was sent to bear witness. John had a very specific ministry. His ministry involved preaching and preparing the way for Jesus Christ. The fulfillment, go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 11, it says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight way in the desert a highway for our God. Again, there's that key word, a straight way. It doesn't say a curvy way. It doesn't say, let's go the back road way. It says, let's just make a straight way for the Lord. Let's keep going here. Lost my place, but anyway. So every valley, verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. This is very important to me. This has nothing to do with my message tonight, but when I was reading, I said, this is good. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. It's an amazing thing. Everything else will fade away, but our God will always stand true. But again, let's keep moving on. Zion, the brightest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountains, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, but not afraid. You know, sometimes we're afraid. We should be standing out. But say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And so we see here that God is faithful. He's never going to leave us astray. And again, just going back to verse 8, it has nothing to do with my message tonight, but this could be a whole message of its own. But we see, notice that John the Baptist, he was not concerned about his fame. You see a lot of people in today's world that they want to look at their fame. You think of all these YouTubers that they get all these YouTube fame and they get all the clout or whatever the new fashion word is in today's world. But John the Baptist, he wasn't, as we see here in verse 1, he was preaching in the wilderness and there was no glamour there. There was nothing. You think in the wilderness, it's nothing like you see here. We got amazing chairs we can sit in. We got a pulpit here that we could preach on to put our Bibles and everything. But, you know, he was out in the wilderness. You go here that he wasn't concerned about the fun. Verse 2, he's preaching on repentance. I was sitting there telling the teens this morning about Jeremiah and how the Lord was with Jeremiah. But repentance, that's one thing that our generation is forgetting. We skip over that word repent, 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 because we're too scared of what people are going to think. We're going around the straight path instead of just saying, Lord, you know, we're supposed to repent, so I'm just going to plow right through it. No, some of us were too scared to preach on repent. But he didn't care. Preaching on repentance and was not received well, Herod killed him for it. The next thing was food. Aren't we blessed? You know, Thanksgiving, I love Thanksgiving. I don't like the weather, but I just love food. And we see here that, you know, he wasn't there. He wasn't concerned about the food. He ate locusts and wild honey. How disgusting is that? You know, I like honey, but I don't know if I could do locusts. I heard they taste just like a little bit of a fried shrimp if you cook them right. But I ain't trying it. But he wasn't concerned about fine clothes. He wore camel's hair and leather girdle. You know, sometimes we take things so much for granted around here. You know, we get it's Thanksgiving, so I'm going to talk about a turkey. I'm going to talk about a wonderful ham. And I've been looking at some recipes, and I'm going to hopefully smoke a ham and a turkey, and we'll find out how it's going to taste. But you think here is that, you know, he locusts, he had wild honey. You know, we're blessed with some wonderful clothing that comes out and that covers us. And you think of what he had to go through. He wasn't concerned about all that. The only thing he was concerned about was taking the path and making the straight way for Christ to be able to come through and preach. He wasn't concerned about fellowship, even though fellowship is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Verses 7 through 12, when many of the Pharisees and Sadducees showed up, he called them vipers. You know, you think of a snake here, you know, vipers, they're a nasty thing. I'm not a fan of snakes, so I got them around my house. Funny story, again, I like stories. As Braxton, he came up, this is actually today, and him and Xavier was outside finding some worms and some salamanders, and I don't know what else they found, but Braxton ended up bringing them up in the house, and he left them on our countertop. And we were leaving, and Megan says, "What is that?" And I said, "I don't know." And she says, "That's a worm! Get it out of my house!" But John wasn't concerned about that. He wasn't concerned about friends. You know, again, we take things for granted. We love friends, especially if they're close and they're faithful friends, they're true friends. But he didn't care about anybody there as far as trying to make a friendship. He wasn't in the ministry to make friends with everybody. He didn't care if he was the only one preaching repentance. That didn't affect him at all. You know, again, it goes back to that repent word is when you start preaching repentance, you're going to lose a lot of people. You think of, I have a poem up in my office where it talks about being a true friend. And that true friend is going out witnessing and telling others about Christ. And I should have brought it up, put it on the screens. I handed it out on a Wednesday noon service. But it talks about a true friend will witness to that person. And then it goes as that friend, okay, going back to him, is that friend says, "I wish that you would tell me about Christ because now I'm down here in hell." You know, sometimes we got to get over our feelings and say, "God, I'm going to go down the path you have for me and quit going to the worldly path or going, I don't like this situation, so I'm going to come this way, and I don't like that situation, and I'm going to go this way." God says he's always there for us, so why do we keep going side to side instead of going straight? Preaching on repentance is a hard thing, and you're going to lose so many people, but the thing is that you're true. A true friend is a friend that I want. I don't know about you guys. A true friend is somebody that's going to be there for you through If you're witnessing to somebody, if you're reading your Bible and you know maybe you've been slacking a little bit and a friend will lift you up, a friend will be there. Me and Xavier's going over some verses, memorizing, because you know one day my goal, since I'm not good at school or anything in the call of ministry, is one day to be ordained. And obviously I got to have some, not really schooling, but I got to have God's word memorized to the best of my ability. You know, if I can't do that, then what's the point? And so we began to study this out. I discovered several things. And I already said it. One thing is clear to me, and that God likes it straight. He likes a straight path. In all four Gospels, it tells that John's message that he makes his path straight. He doesn't go side to side. He didn't care what all these people through the wilderness said. He says, hey, I'm going to listen to God and I'm going to go straight down because that's what God called me to do. We know that Matthew 3:3, what we just read, and Mark 1:3, and Luke 3:4, and then John 1:23. If you're taking notes, you can read those for yourself if you don't believe me. Isaiah 40, verse 4 says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. We move on to chapter 42 of Isaiah, verse 16, and it says, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that were, or that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and the crooked things straight. These things I will do unto them and not forsake them. We see here that God obviously likes a straight path. We keep going here to Isaiah 59, verse 8. Switch over a couple more pages. And it says, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whatsoever goeth therein shall not know peace. You know, a crooked path is pretty annoying. Going back to the story of going to Texas, you know, it was annoying that, you know, we're 6 hours in and then we had to go through all these back roads just to actually get finally on the path that we were supposed to go on. Imagine, I've been down this path, imagine God tells you to do something and you say, I'm not going to do it. And you say, I got this. And you're going to take your own path and eventually you get caught up in this path and then you're going to come back over here and say, this path isn't for me. But eventually God is going to... The Holy Spirit's going to convict your heart and you're going to say, finally you get it. And then you finally start going on the path that God has for you. And so you think about, you know, you think it's hard going on the path that God has for you, but think how much harder it is going on the path that you think is better. You know, you're not God. Like I always tell the teens is, let God be God and let him do what he's supposed to do. God, letter B, God likes straight preaching. He doesn't like anything that's fake, false. If I was up here, like half the churches in today's world, unfortunately, that, let me say my spot, that I'm not even going to use God's word. I'm just going to sit here and just give a speech, more or less, and say, oh, you guys are doing a wonderful job, and our God's amazing, and I can't have anything to prove that besides God's amazing. Give it them all. That's not real preaching. That's fake. That's going off to the right or to the left. That's not going straight preaching. 2 Timothy 2:15, you guys know this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but I guarantee it that a lot of you guys aren't studying with God's word. You guys come in here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, maybe even Wednesday, and you say, that's all I need for the week. And it's like what Brother Carter said this morning is, you know, Sunday and Wednesday don't cut it. Once you step out into the real world and, you know, your real job, the world just beats you down. And imagine how much sharper you would be if you said, I always like going through Proverbs because there's typically 30 days, there's 30 Proverbs, and I could read right through it, and it gives me some wisdom. And, you know, I need wisdom through the week. You know, I'm blessed to be able to work full-time here, and, you know, sometimes, you know, a preacher will give me some wisdom, some guidance, some things I need, some nuggets is the word I'm looking for, so for one day when I start a church, I can kind of keep that in the back of my mind. And then some days he's like, what are you doing that you need to start getting out there and witnessing, being a better soul winner? You know, I feel like that's what we all need. A good soul winner is going for the path that God wants us to do, the straight path, going straight down the aisleway here. you know, a person that's not soul winning is, I'm going to avoid God here, I'm going to avoid God over here, but you're not really avoiding God. So rightly dividing here in this verse, it says rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, rightly dividing, it means a cut straight, to proceed on straight paths, hold a straight course, to do right, to make straight and smooth, to handle right, to teach the truth directly and correctly. Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10 says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine, that them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Nehemiah 8, verse 4, 5, 6, and 8 says, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made from the purpose. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. When's the last time you ever done that? When's the last time you ever had to get down to your knees and just pray to the Lord? Or are you too ashamed to do that? You know, sometimes, even myself, sometimes, maybe it's all the time for some of you guys, is you're too ashamed to get down on your knees for the Lord. You know, and if you are, you know, if you're too ashamed to do that, then, you know, what you got to think about is Christ died for you. You know, he didn't have to do that for any of us. But Christ loved us so much that he says, hey, I'm going to die for you. Verse 8 here. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. You know, sitting there thinking, you say, well, God's word, it's hard to read. And, you know, the thing is that if you actually took some time and you got a concordance and did some studying like God says, you'll understand it, I promise. As you see here, that God likes straight preaching because, one, it expounds doctrine. It establishes direction. It eliminates differences. There's a lot of differences in today's world, isn't there? Oh, I like this. No, I like that. Oh, I like that version of the Bible. No, I like that version of the Bible. Encourages dedication, exposes disobedience, and it enforces discipline. God likes straight preaching because it reproves our wicked heart. It redirects our wandering heart. It refreshes our withering heart. It rekindles our heart. It's demanded because it reveals to us the ways of God. It reminds us the word of God. It removes us off of us the wrath of God, and it reinforces us reinforces us the will of God. See here is that God likes straight people. I believe with all my heart that it will take straight preaching to produce straight people. You know, you think in today's world that there's not a lot of straight preaching, so there's so many people in today's world that they're wandering, and they think they believe something. And in all reality, when you ask them, hey, why did you believe this? They kindle down like a little dog because they don't know. Because there's no such thing as preaching. They're not being fed by the word of God. They're just getting what you call a inspirational speech from the preachers from all these different churches that call themselves preachers when they don't even use the word of God. Philippians 2:15. Says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in this world. The unsaved world is crooked people, aren't they? But, you know, the way that they're not going to be crooked people is for us to take that path that being laid out for us and saying, hey, go witness to this person. Hey, there's this person sitting at the bus stop. Why don't we get out of our cars every once in a while and say, hey, you know, here's a tracker. Hey, you know, do you know if you die today, would you go to heaven or hell? You know, it just takes a little bit of courage, boldness. And, you know, I feel like every service, I feel like almost the whole month has been all on witnessing and inviting, and it pricks my heart just because I know I slack at it at times. And I know if I need this, I'm not the only one. And if I am, then kudos to me. I'm glad because I do need it sometimes. You know, crooked people, the only way that they're going to be straight is for us to show them the right way. But they are crooked in what they do. They don't know any different sometimes. They don't know any difference than what we do. And then there's sometimes, what Brother Carter preached this morning, is there's fake Christians in here that Sunday is the day that we're going to come in here and, woo, we're excited for Jesus, and then we're going to go to our house and say all different kinds of bad stuff. And it's just like what Carter said. It was amazing that kind of this goes together, is that our kids look up to that. Some of you guys don't even know this, but, you know, those kids over there might look up to some of you guys. Some of those kids, they say, well, that person's dressed in that way, so I want to dress that way. You know, you imagine if everybody came in here with, you know, some booty shorts is what I call them, and tank tops. Imagine what those kids in the other room are going to want to wear. They're going to come just like the rest of the world. They're crooked for their dealings. They're crooked for deliberations. They're crooked for their declarations. We live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, but God wants us to be different. And you say, well, what else can we do to be different? It goes back to what he called us to do in Matthew, to go teach the world, to go teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Proverbs, I'm getting ahead of myself, but God wants us to be different. But if we are going to be different from a crooked and perverse people, we must be straight people. We must not be the fake Christians that we see all around us. The only way we're not going to be fake Christians is, one is, you know, look at, give yourself a deep examination. Hey, even though I come to church on Sundays, am I out, you know, inviting people? Am I at home being a good example to my wife or to my husband, to my kids? Am I going out and not acting a fool? Am I doing what God called me to do? And you say, well, God never called me to do anything. Wrong. God called you to go tell others about who he is. So, Proverbs 4, verse 25 through 27 says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So I preached a message on ponder before you wander. Think before you say. You know, if we pondered before we went off the path, if we said, Lord, I'm struggling with this certain thing, before you keep pondering on and you go off to the wrong way, if you ask the Lord to direct your paths, what is he going to do? He's going to direct your paths. I think some of those bets might be right. This is, that was all intro. So number one tonight, the resistance that is removed. Prepare ye the way of the Lord in verse 3, going back to Matthew. There is an enormous amount of preparation that is involved in making his path straight. Oh, sorry, not Matthew, Isaiah, sorry, Isaiah 43, sorry. Chapter 40, verse 3, says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert and the highway of our God. God likes a straight path. God wants you to remove all these wicked things that keep causing you to go left, to go right. He just wants you to focus on who he is. Verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Making a straight road involves a lot of things. You know, straight roads I like to drive on when I'm in the car, but I like curvy roads when I'm on the motorcycle. I'm not like Carter and Jeremy where they fly around all these curvy roads. I like to take my time because I don't want to die. I don't have that much confidence in myself to lean and almost touch the ground. But God, he's making a straight road involves destination. Where are you planning to go? You know, some of you guys, what's your planning? Where are you planning on to go this week? Are you planning on just to go to work and maybe invite some people this week since there's been some amazing messages today? Or are you planning on this week to go to the bar after work and have a few drinks and all that? Or are you just going to kind of pretty much what the first option is and actually live for Christ and show, let your light shine through this crooked, wicked world? The course that must be charted is, where are you trying to go? Hopefully it's nothing crazy. But the next thing is deliberation. What is the best way to get there? You know, in today's world, it's sad. This kind of started with me growing up, as far as my generation, I feel like, but I feel like it's worse in this generation, is adultery. Are you going to that next person's house? Are you going to your lover's house? Are you trying to take the next direction this way? Are you trying to go the direction that way instead of taking the path going home? What are you going to do this week? But the most direct route is the best way. Taking a left or to the right is the wrong way. The best way is taking the straight path. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Boom, boom. You know, growing up, when I got my license, I got a free vehicle. And I told myself, I'll never drive this vehicle. But, you know, a free vehicle, if it's free, it's for me. All right? I mean, I'm kind of like preacher. I got a free truck. My dad gave me a truck, praise the Lord. But, you know, when I was 16 years old, my old babysitter says, hey, I got this minivan. I don't want this minivan. She says, all it needs is some tires. And I said, I'm not getting caught driving this minivan. And surely enough, you know, I was sitting there talking to some people. Some of you guys may know him, but Ben Miller, he says, man, that was my first vehicle. And I said, well, that was you, not me. But he talked me into it. It was free again. So I drove, and the only thing that mattered was getting it to point A to point B, and back to point B to point A, and that was my house. So one night we went to good old Gold Star. We always went to Gold Star every Wednesday night. I love me some Gold Star. Sorry for the skyline, but Gold Star is better. But anyway, so we went to, I think it was just me, but, you know, I said, I got 7 seats. Whoever in the youth group wants to ride with me, you know, this is my first little ride. So we went to Gold Skyline, or Skyline, Gold Star. Ugh, it's not talking about Skyline, but Gold Star. Well, went in there, ate a delicious cheese cone. I think I got 2 cheese cones that night because that's all I would ever eat. Well, I came back out and I went to start it. And come to find out, there was something that broke off the motor, and it couldn't be repaired, so I had to scrap it. You know, I went to point A to point B, the straight line, but then it took me all over the place after that because I had to call for a tow truck. I had to wait there for someone else to pick me up, and then I had to, finally came to my house. And then from my house, I just got a full tank of gas, brand new tires on this thing, so I had to go around, sell all the tires, and then I sucked all the gas out of it with a vacuum. It was amazing. And, you know, I say all that to this is that point A to point B is a straight line. Don't let, you know, all that happen to me. But I didn't go out and say, you know, go against the Lord. I just said, well, it was a free vehicle. My mom paid for the gas. She paid for the tires, so it was free to me. You know, I didn't sit there and say, Lord, why did you do this? This is stupid. I'm going to do all this stuff afterwards. No, I just, you know, just took it. You know, there's so many things that's going to beat you aside the head over and over and over. But the thing is you have a decision to make is either, hey, I'm going to take the path this way or I'm going to take the path that way because I'm so mad right now or I'm mad at God. There's so many people in today's world that says, I'm mad at God and I don't know how to do anything. And so they end up going, well, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go party. I'm going to go to the bar because I'm so mad and I just don't know. Well, the thing is that why be mad at God? It goes all the way back to the very beginning. God died for you. Why would he punish you? Next thing is your determination. There would be many challenges. Just like I said, there were many challenges. I was getting ahead of myself. But to bring forth fruit, there will be a lot of emphasis placed on preparation. Preparing the soil for the seed, as we saw in the preacher's office, if you're wondering. But preparing the gospel of peace. Preparing the hearts to receive the truth, preparing people for eternity, preparing young people for life, preparing God's people for Christian service, preparing churches to reach the world, which is my own opinion. This isn't Bible, this is my opinion, is that's what churches fell at today, reaching the world. Letter D is disvastation, trees, stumps, rocks, any obstacles for progress must be removed. If there's something that you're struggling with and you go home tonight, well, guess what? Remove it. Get it out. Throw it away. Call that friend and says, hey, if you got to rededicate your life, rededicate your life. Call that friend and say, hey, I can't do that no more. You know, there was a lot of things that I did before I finally got serious with Christ. A lot of you guys know my testimony as far as going out partying, drinking, and smoking, and doing all kinds of stupid stuff. And eventually I had to say, hey, friend, I can't do this no more. I can't be that fake friend that goes to church on Sunday and then come back and say, oh, I'm going to go do the same stuff over and over and over with that. And then Sunday comes rolling back around and here I am again, that goody two-shoe. You know, if that's you, get rid of it. You know, it was hard to get rid of that friend. I still contact him every once in a while, and I know that he's doing well. We're supposed to have lunch sometime. But the thing is, it's not easy. Get rid of it. Jeremiah 23:29. It is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in peace. You know, rivers and creeks, they are crooked. You know why? Because the water takes the pass at the least resistance. Are you like a river? Acts 7:51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. You know, I only can say this so many times is whatever's in your life right now that's just distracting you, that's taking you off all these paths that God has for you, get rid of it. Throw it away. Don't just throw it to the side. Don't sit there and just toss it in behind a cabinet. Throw it away. You know, it's trash night tonight at my house. I don't have anything. I guess I have a lot of stuff to throw away, but, you know, Megan always trying to throw my stuff away, and even though I care about it, it's not fair. It ain't way to go. But number two tonight, the route that is revealing. One of the reasons why God likes his paths to be, or paths, let me rephrase that, his path to be straight is you can see where you are. The word is a mirror. James 1:23-25 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, I'm not saying that I have a bad memory. I have a very bad memory. Megan always asks me stuff. Sometimes some of the stuff I just act like I don't hear. I know she's in here, but it's okay. You know, sometimes she'll ask me to do something, and I'll be like, yeah, I'll do it here in a little bit. I'm in the middle of something. And no, it's not video games. It could be work, a little bit of side work that I do. It might be a little bit of cleaning my own stuff. It might be a little bit of hunting since it's hunting season. But there's sometimes where I actually do forget. But if I'm in the Lord's will, if I'm following what he has for me, you know, I'm still faithful. We see here that, you know, being a faithful person, God blesses them. If you're not faithful to the Lord, tonight's the night. Don't wait until New Year, New Me. I say that every year about my weight. New Year, New Brandon. And so it's like, since, you know, baby number three is on the way now, it's like, New Year, New Me, you know what I mean? she don't have the cravings, it's normally me. Eating cookies at 11 o'clock at night with a little bit of milk, dabbing it in there, you know. But anyway, you can see where you're going. God's people have promises to those that obey the truth. You can see where you've been so you don't forget the faith once delivered. You know, the old saying, and I'm going to butcher this, is, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm better where I can't, right? Like I said, but yeah, better where I used to be, better than I used to be. But just think, if you just listen to the Lord, being faithful to the Lord, and not just coming into church and on Sundays and Wednesdays, but it takes more than that. It's not just coming and being that good person. There's nobody that's good in here, I'm sorry, including myself. What it takes is being faithful to the Lord, being in his word, daily, being prayed up daily. When's the last time you guys prayed? When's the last time you've been on your face and said, Lord, I need your help? Instead of sitting there trying to do the thing all by yourself. When's the last time that you had to tell a friend, no, I'm not going because I'm a different person? You know, some of you guys might have to go in your closet and get rid of some of that stuff so you can stay on the path for the Lord. Number three tonight is the relationship that is rewarding. We see here in Isaiah 45 and verse 10 and 11. Isaiah 40 verse 5, it says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Verse 11. He shall feed his flock with like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead them, or lead those that are with young. If you want to walk with God, you have to have a straight path. And like I said, all throughout this message, get rid of the worldly things that's in your life. Again, it's not easy. I promise. I've been down, I still struggle with that sometimes. There's still some music that comes in my ears and I sit there and I bump with it. I'm like, wait, I don't associate that with no more. There's still some things that I have as far as like shoes and all that. I don't even wear them. If anybody wears, you know, some size 11 shoes and they want some, or it might even be 12 size shoes, but that says, man, I wore that with this, or I wore that to this, that party or that party. No, things that remind you and that you say, I got to go back to that life, get rid of it. God is not going to take a path that is crooked and weaves in and out, back and forth. God likes a straight path. You know, the only time when I like to weave back and forth is someone's coming at me with a punch. Weave, duck. You know, you don't, never want to get hit straight in the face, you know. God's people are to walk a straight path. Don't be the crooked people. Don't be the people that, again, I'm finishing up after this. Don't be the people, and if you are, please tell me so I can stay away from you. Don't be the people that come here on Sunday and Wednesday and then act totally different outside here. I don't, those aren't true friends. Those aren't true people. Those aren't true Christians, in my opinion. Because if you do that, then you need to search deep down and say, am I really saved? Am I really doing the Lord's work, or am I worshiping the world? Am I following what the Lord has for me? And, you know, I remember to this day, I keep saying I'm going to be done, but I remember to this day, my senior year, 2013, the year I graduated, is that I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And he called me into ministry. And you know what I said? Out. I'm done. I'm deucing out. I ain't doing that. You know how miserable my life was for a few years until I said, Lord, I guess I'm going to take that path finally. And as I walk through this path, I'm not saying that I'm always walking down this path straight. There's times when I get bumps going side to side. But we got to remember that none of us is perfect. The only perfect person here is Christ. So ask yourself this. Are you a real Christian or are you a fake Christian? Are you real and reading God's word, studying it up, praying, inviting others, coming, being faithful to him, or are you not? If I can have eyes closed, head bowed. Tonight wasn't really much of a salvation message. Tonight was about being real or fake, taking the path for the Lord, the straight path. But I want to, again, this was convicting in my heart because, you know, sometimes we get bruises, we get pushed back and forth, just like Brother Carter said this morning. We got to push forward, not backwards. So are you that person that says, I'm going to push forward from now on? I got to get rid of the things in my life that keeps pushing me back so I can move forward. And if that's you tonight, the altar's open. There's no one holding you back besides yourself. The next thing here is for the people that says, well, I don't even know, I guess I'm the worldly person, I'm the crooked person. And I want to know how to fix myself so I can be that real person, that real friend, that real Christian. Well, the thing is that there's a few things you got to know. And the first thing first is that you got to know that Christ died for you. He died for me. He died for everybody in this entire universe. And the thing is that he died because we all sinned. None of us is perfect, like I said. Romans 3:10, it says, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. That's everybody. Not just you, not just me, not just a certain person in this room, that's everybody here in this world. But the thing is that there's a penalty for that, unfortunately. And that's for the wages of sin is death. And so we gotta repent. We gotta put everything to the side and say, Lord, I want to be new. I want to cast all the stuff that I used to do. I want to become a new creature. Romans 5:8 says, but God commends his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:13, this is the best thing you could ever hear, is for whosoever, that's anybody, shall call upon him, the Lord shall be saved. And that's you in here tonight, and you say, maybe I need to rededicate my life. I haven't been living the right way. Maybe there's somebody online tonight that's never accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Well, tonight's the night. So if I can have the music playing, and you deal with the Lord as he dealt with you.